fly fishing in saltwater. How effective would you say that would be?
I think it's more rewarding on the fly in the saltwater than anything else, because your chances of catching fish, just your strike rate increases.
Really?
Yeah, it's incredible. Do you want to catch the one or two, or do you want to get the 30, 40 fish?
There you go, buddy. Hit it now!
This is the Angler News SA podcast. I'm Vanessa Green.
Well, hey guys, welcome to this week's expert series. And we are talking about the art of fly fishing. We are talking about what we get out of it. What is this whole fascination behind it? We are talking about why should we attempt it, right? So I'm sitting here with my dear old friend, Alan Will. Now, Alan, I've known you for years. I've always known you as a saltwater guy. I've known you to go out and buy the best fish finders with your friends. I've known you to buy the best fishing tackle when it comes to your ski boating, your rock and surf. I know you to dive. I know you to go out and do bass fishing. But of the last couple of years, all you talk about is fly fishing, right? So let's get into this. Let's talk about what is this whole fascination that's got you hooked. And so let me start off by saying thank you for doing this with me this evening.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You know, you know me from all the facets of fishing. I think it's when we're doing bass fishing, we've been together there. And then the passion lies on that. And then it's the saltwater. And I just think we're blessed in KZN by having all of this. It's amazing. We've got the best of all worlds in here.
Absolutely. Yeah. We don't have to travel too far to explore all facets.
They say 1,000 casts for one fish. But throughout the years, all of a sudden, my eyes just got opened up to what is actually fly fishing. And yeah, I think that's what created my passion for it. Once you understand the scientific and the art behind it, it just becomes simplified. So I think a lot of people look at fly fishing and they're just going down to the basics of what a fish for want and how would they see it and how would I fish it and stuff like that. I see a lot of fly fishermen fishing flies that they buy at shops, and it's something that imitates a dead creature, and then they're fishing it fast. And that's how I used to fish as a youngster. We all get used to like just throwing in and stripping as quick as we can, or doing this or doing that, and getting to habits and that. We joke about it, say 100 years back, they were taking corks and wine corks and pieces of metal and carving lures out in it. But nobody's making their own plastics in it. Very little guys. There's guys that are interested in molding their own stuff at home. But that's where the fly comes in. It doesn't take much. It doesn't cost a lot to start getting creative and start thinking, can I create something and will it work? And when it works, then it's amazing. Then it just blows you out the park.
Absolutely.
You'll be so rewarded. It's unreal. Yeah.
No, for sure. Okay. So I want to find out. Now we want to get into this fly fishing facet, right? We're going to talk about saltwater fly fishing in a moment, but just generally fly fishing. I think to me, what I enjoy most about fly fishing is the other adventures. You've been on some really epic adventures of recent times that you were telling me about. Apart from the adventures, the same adrenaline rush that we would get from our other facets. I mean, a 3-kilo bass, a 5-kilo bass gives you, even a 1-kilo bass at times could rev you up. We know what we get out of our salt water.
Yeah.
With fly fishing, we mainly fish in trout. We might fish yellowfish, scalies, or whatever it is. But you were telling me we could pretty much fly fish for anything. But I just want to hone in on the trout aspect, because that's our main facet that we are when we go fly fishing. Are we getting the same rush out of that? Or are we doing it to explore the mountains, walk the paths? The more gentle side of fishing.
Look, I think every facet of fishing's got their rush, right? So to me, the fly fishing, I can purely speak for myself. It's, I think it's much more rewarding being out in the nature. Look, it's totally rewarding going out. I launched from Unkamoas, and it's always great catching a tuna, Dorado, or wahoo, especially wahoo season coming up is amazing, and the Dorado is going to come in November and that.
Yeah.
But being arty in the Midlands, going up a little stream, and a stream being maybe a half a meter deep, and you think, look, could there really be any fish inside here? Going with a little one-weight rod or a two-weight rod, thinking, look, first of all, I'm going to battle to cast under these trees and that. But you get it right. If you get a 10-centimeter fish or a 30-centimeter fish, or if you want to speak in inches or whatever, I'm old school, but the reward of catching the fish, it's amazing. And being out in the nature, it's something that you need to do it with somebody, because It's something that you can't explain to somebody.
All right. So, you know, let's touch on that. We're talking about needing to do it with someone.
Yes.
If we're getting into fly fishing, like I said, I just do it every now and then because I love all facets of fishing. But if I wanted to really get into it now, what do you mean do it with someone? Join a club, watch some YouTube videos, go to a tackle shop and ask questions. Where do we start?
Look, I'd say, you know, to get into something like fly fishing, you know, it's easier to get into rock and surf, especially in KZN. I think that's our biggest facet of fishing, rock and surf or going out deep sea. You'll get a lot of information that I'm sure they would actually even invite you to a fly fishing trip. Joe Humphrey, which is an amazing fly fisherman, holding world record, catching a 30-pound brown trout at the age of 94.
Mm.
He's got a sustain. It's not about the fish you get. It's the destination and the people you catch with.
100%.
And, you know, so I think if you want to get into it, go to one of your local tackle stores and these guys will help you. They'll get you started. You know, there's guys with the knowledge and Kingfisher up in Marisburg, they offer fly fishing tours or trips, guided trips. But
so it's best to try one of those
like
guys.
And go out, see if you like it. I'm sure you're going to like it.
Yeah.
But, it's better to go out with somebody than to go out and struggle. And it might put you off it. So I would say the facet of fly fishing, I would suggest if you want to start it, go out with knowledge and then be put off it.
No, for sure. Yeah. All right. So I want to talk about gear now, right? I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this gleaming, fancy feathers, these shiny scissors, these bobbins, this handmade stuff over here. Is getting into fly fishing going to be quite expensive? Or did you just build up to this? Can we start off at an entry level? Just walk into your tackle shop and buy a rod and reel and buy some ready-made flies. Would that work?
All facets of fishing is expensive. There's a trick I learned years ago is don't go into a fishing shop without your wife because it's going to come out somewhere. Go in there with your wife. And the first trick is get your wife fishing because all facets of fishing is expensive. If you're going to do bass, if you're going to do deep sea, rock and surf, but the most expensive of them all, I would say, is fly fishing. But you can simplify it. The simplifying it is go speak to them, get advice. Don't go in and blindly. Most people go in and they use the excuse, I want to buy a rod for my friend. Meantime, they're looking to buy a rod for themselves. Don't make that critical mistake. Go in and tell them, look, guys, this is what I want to do. I want to start fly fishing. Please give me advice. Go in with a budget. Tell them, this is my budget. What can I get that can cover a couple of stuff? I want to go fly fishing for trout, yellowfish, bass. I want to catch a marble, and I want to go into the salt water. So I want something that can cover the most facets of fly fishing. That's because I want to try a bit of each. I live in KZN. If the weather's good, I want to get down to Schlunga Rocks and go fish for blacktails or carantine or whatever. If it's ice cold winter, and then I want to get up to the Midlands and go catch a trout. And when it's spawny season, I want to go get a bass, but I want one rod, one reel.
I know in every facet, we need multiple rods for the species we're going to catch.
Mm.
When it comes to fly fishing, would I be able to use the same rod to catch a trout as I would to go and throw in the harbor for a grunter?
You can. Look, ideally, you want to have a floating line, sinking line, intermediate line, hover line, and a one weight, two weights, three weights, right up to a 12 weights, but that's costly. So I would say go speak to these guys. They're going to give you an in-between. So you could go there and get an Explorer T50 series rod, which you could use for river nymphing, and that would be a 5-weight rod, and you can use it in the estuaries. You can use it off a float tube. So that would cover the most facets of fishing. And then speak to them about lines. So you buy a reel, you can buy one reel with three spools, and you can slowly build up different lines in that for different facets of fishing. Your salt water, obviously, you want to use a different fish water because of the salinity of the water in it. But the best is get advice, research it. Google gives you so much, but Google can also give you way too much.
Yes.
But these guys have got the knowledge. They're very helpful.
So let's get into the technical side now, right? You said when it comes to fly time, keep it simple. These flies look pretty fancy.
So on the flies, what I find interesting is everybody goes to look on a shelf. You will see they got drawers with a whole lot of flies in. What's always interesting is if you take the kids with or the wife, they always look at the colors and the patterns and how pretty it looks. All the feathers protruding out in it.
Mm.
always remember with a fly, when it gets wet, it changes the shape. You can ask Kingfisher, you can ask them, can you use the bathroom at the back, take the fly and go wet it and see that fly changes shape completely.
Yeah.
With fly fishing, use your imagination. But simplifying things is the secret behind it. When we go river fishing, the first thing we do before we even take the rod is there little caddises on the rocks in it. And what color are they? Are they green? Are they brown? And then we match our
fly. What does that tell you? You want that? What in the nature, what it would be feeling yes, on. That's what
exactly. If it's fishing at Castleburn late in the afternoon, you get a lot of little white little moss. We tie a white little flies with white feathers on, and then we throw as a dry fly on top. But you know, the deeper you should, you're going to use flies which we call CDCs, which float fantastic. There's stuff like coq de lions, which is a very strong feather versus pheasant tails, you know. But to get into that depth, start basic with basic stuff first. Tie flies is much more expensive than wine flies. So don't think it's cheaper to make your own flies. It's much more expensive, but the reward beyond it, for it, that's
yes.
That is that, amazing. That,
absolutely. But I just want to, on that point, I want to talk about buying flies. We know of these common names of the damsels and the woolly buggers and the DDDs. Those are those common ones at majority tackle stores.
Yes, sir.
Do they work? Or do we have to get really technical? Obviously, they must work if they are the majority out there. But what would be the difference between buying one of those, for example, a woolly bugger, as opposed to just sitting in your room and tying a variety of different colors or creating more options?
I'll give you something very interesting. Joe Humphrey, 94 years old, catches a 30-pound brown trout, a world record. When does he catch it? He catches it at night, in the dark. So we all go to places like Nyala Pans or Nkomaj River, and we go to catch a Natal Scaly. And then as fly fishermen, we say, what's going to work? Is it going to be a brown little nymph? Is it going to be a green one? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? And then especially places fishing like in Nyala Pans, go fish it in the late afternoon and wait until it goes dark. When it goes dark, your success rate of catching fish is so much higher. Is it the color that works? So it's something I thought about.
Yes.
Intensively, you know, tying flies, you got all these different colors and beads, and you get pink beads and red ones and black ones.
Just look
and
at your
silver ones. And it's amazing. And glow bright threads and everything under the UV lights, it just brightens up. But when it gets dark, it all changes. But yet, we've got to also understand fish seeing UV. You know, how they'll see it at night is different. But to me, it's not so much how the fly looks and how the fly is designed. Gordon van der Spey, he wrote a book, The Feather Mechanic, and he says, keep it simple. Keep it ugly and make it look like it's the insect, you know. His first trout he caught, he had a little golden retriever called Goldie, and he got given a fly rod and he didn't have a fly, so he cut a piece of his dog's fur off, and he tied it on a hook, and he caught a trout.
Yeah.
And that's how he started.
Wow, you know?
So anything can work. Why do they sell deer hair, rabbits and squirrels and feathers like natural?
Yeah. There's some really fancy stuff here.
Yeah. So to give you the answer on it, my personal opinion is presentation. And if you bounce it back to the bass fishing, you know, there's so many bass plastics and lures in it, but all bass fishermen will tell you it's how you present that lure, how you twitch the rod. Dawa brought out a brilliant reel years ago, which you're quite well aware, which we fished a couple of years back, the Dawa twitch.
Oh, yes.
So the twitch had a certain reaction on it that it would retrieve the bait in the same rhythm continuously, and that was very successful catching fish. So I think the flies is how you present it. You go to the river and if you're not presenting it right or getting down to the bottom and keeping it in the zone, your chances of catching fish is very scarce. You always get the one or two fish. But do you want to catch the one or two, or do you want to get the 30, 40 fish?
Yeah.
The junior nationals were in Barkley East a while back, and they were practicing that in Yala Pans. And a buddy of mine, Tim, was fishing there, and he walked down the river, and he said to one of the junior national fly fishermen, he said, how was your day's fishing? And he said, you know, Tim told him he had caught two fish, and the junior national says, I had caught 42, you know. There's a big difference in that.
Yeah.
And this youngster said, it's the presentation of it. Yeah. It's not what you're using. Because the first thing you ask is, what fly are you using? Mm. He said, it doesn't matter. Just present it right.
Okay.
So I think presentation's a key factor of it. But yes, obviously, there's a reason why they sell different hooks, different lures, different feathers. You tie different flies.
When I used to work at a tackle shop, I used to see the guys come in. We'll put out a couple boxes of flies out there. And the guys will go through. And they all call it 10 rand each. Mm. But the guys would go with the bigger flies because it looks like you're getting more value for money with the bigger feathers and that kind of thing. And then you had those like tiny ones, like some of these ones I've seen in your box. Why? Explain to me, like, okay, when would you want to have this big fancy looking fly with the multiple colors and this and that? Is that to catch the fisherman or is it to catch the fish? And then you have this like really a plain black fly with just two orange eyes and the guy still would use that.
I think if I use the analogy of let's go deep sea fishing, all of a sudden let's forget the fly fishing for a second, and we're going to go get bait now. We're going to use the Yuzuri trace now to catch the live bait. You can't put five sardines on like we're going to do at the sardine run to look for a big bait.
Yes,
definitely. Everything's got its right place at its right time. I would say it's not to catch the fisherman. Everything will work at its right time at the right place. But less is sometimes more. You don't need the big and bulky. My go-to fly for trout would be a streamer, but when it's wet, it'll be so thin, but it'll imitate a dragonfly. The bass fisherman will know every time you're bass fishing and you're dead sticking it, a dragonfly will come sit on your rod. Mm. Have a look, how is that dragonfly? And he could have been lying in the water for a couple of days and his wings are gone. That's a thin little guy.
Yes.
So do you want to have a thick, big dragonfly on it, or do you want to imitate something that's really like him? When you walk around the river, what bugs you? What bugs you at St. Lucia Estuary? Let's talk of saltwater fishing, Richards Bay, small craft harbor. That's one of the top places for saltwater fly fishing.
Yes.
But you go sit there late afternoon, early morning. What's the first thing that bugs you is mosquitoes.
Oof.
So how big is a mosquito?
Yeah, so
okay, what are you going to use there?
I see where you're going there.
You go fishing the rock pools. What do the blacktails, the carantine go for? They go for bloodworms.
Yes.
So do you want a big, bulky, big crab there, or do you want a little bloodworm fly?
All right.
The things like that would make a big difference.
Okay, so let's chat about those saltwater flies. See that we just started touching on the saltwater. Fly fishing in saltwater. How effective would you say that would be?
I'll tell you, you're going to have much more fun with a fly in the saltwater. Don't let the wind put you off. Don't let the waves put you off. The fish aren't far away. A lot of the faults I see going down to the coast is, or going down to the beaches, people try cast as far as they can. They'll try to put the biggest baits on. We've got wonderful waters by us. You go up to places like Umtalumi, Sizela, you don't have to cast. I've seen guys catch shad on a fly. You can tuck trousers with a silver flash in. It's going to work. But I think it's more rewarding on a fly in the salt water than anything else because your chances of catching fish, just your strike rate increases.
Really?
Yeah, incredible.
As opposed to using our drop shots, our bucktails. I guess bucktail is actually derived from fly. It just gave it more weight.
I would say opposed from using even bait.
Wow.
And then obviously it's the presentation. Fly rods have got a lot of give in the point of the rods. You can tie a fly. There's my go-to fly that'll work in salt water, fresh water, catch a fish anywhere. If it's going for bass or it's going for trout or it's going for blacktails or carantine or whatever it is, you'd get any salt species on it, any freshwater species on it. Is my little bloodworm, squirmy wormy.
Yeah.
But that's, I would say, you're going to have so much more of a success rate. And it's all to do with presentation.
And what you said, because it just seems more natural.
Okay. So you're fishing a thin line. You're using the line to get the fly out there. It's that natural. I could use the same fly to catch 50 fish if I wanted to.
Yeah.
One that you get on the shelf, a fish had to bite it or break in half, and you'd have to replace the fly. So there is ways of improving this. If you go into places like the Flats or the Durban Harbour or to Cozy Bay and you're using crab patterns, they're not going to last long because those grunters, it's a little fish at heart, you know?
Yeah.
But you're not being penny wise pound foolish. You're buying it to catch a fish.
Yeah,
when you're using the sardine, do you want to catch 20 fish or one sardine. So you're going to buy 3 boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Go buy 20 flies if you have. It might cost you
about the same as the boxes. So
okay. I think we're going to round off here, Alan, but I just want to find out, someone wants to get into saltwater fly fishing. They want to tie their own flies, because we know the freshwater fly fishing, tying your flies, there's a lot available. There's books, there's literature, there's YouTube videos. There's enough content on there. How about some advice on getting into saltwater fly fishing? Where would you start on that?
So tying your own flies, yeah. I would say the best way to start is, if you're interested and you don't have a vice or anything and you want to see how it's done, is I would go to Explorer Fly Fishing once a month. They have a fly tying evening. Mm. The cost is minimal. I think it's R100 a person that buys you a meal, and you get a cool drink or a beer or whatever. And they actually teach you how to tie saltwater fly. Once a month they do this. Which is fantastic.
Right.
I think it's very educational. And that'll give you a rough idea. You can have a look. If you don't have a vise, they'll allow you to use one of their vises in it. And you can see if it's for you or if it's not for you.
Mm.
And you can meet like-minded people, have a chat with them. You must probably, it'll be a good thing. Another place that's offered it is Durban Ski Boat Base. I see they have it every now and then.
Yeah.
They have a fly tying evening.
For saltwater.
For saltwater.
Okay.
Yes, and for offshore fishing, that especially this time of the year, it comes up with the Dorado season. That's amazing to catch a Dorado and fly.
Yeah. Okay.
Very fun.
What would a saltwater vise cost us, though?
You could start with basic vise. You could get for about R1,000, and then you can go up to something like a J vise that could cost you in the round or R12,000-R15,000. But you don't need the top of the range stuff immediately.
Yeah.
Start with something that suits your budget. I always say is, what would fishing cost you? Any facet of fishing, it'll cost you what you can afford.
Yes.
All right. Don't overdo it, because then you won't enjoy it.
So
sure. What your pocket can afford, and a lot of research on it. Speak to the guys at all these fishing shops, and they'll give you advice.
Mm.
And you know, if you speak to them honestly and you tell them, this is my budget, this is what I want to do, these guys are helpful. They've been in the market for a long time. They're not there to do you in. They'll give you sound advice.
Fantastic. Now, Alan, let's just round it off. Final word. Advice to anyone as to why they should start fly fishing.
Because if you haven't done it, you don't know what you're missing. All right. Once you've caught the fish on fly, it's like nothing you've caught on any other rod. Give it a go. You'll be pleasantly surprised. Yeah. My suggestion is you've got to try everything once in your life.
Yes.
Fly the fly.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a perfect way to end it.
There's a guy in Netherlands that says, it's the fly or die. tight lines for everybody, and good luck.
Fantastic. Alan, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you about fly fishing. I think we've opened up the minds to a lot of anglers out there. I really appreciate your time on this, and we will see you on the fly side then.
100%.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Guys, until the next episode.
This is the Angler News SA Podcast. I'm Vanessa Green. Find more episodes at ecr.co.za under podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Let's fish for the future.